Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Weird thing I've started to do with AEW Rampage, and I have no idea why. You know the Pet Shop Boys and their song, Go West? In the advert breaks, I sit there and just go, Rampage, and I don't know why. I'm really worried that I have a problem. My name is Simon from World Culture, thank you for joining me as always, and this is the 6th episode of AEW Rampage, and I know I mentioned this last week, but I still can't get over it. How did we get to 6? The first was like CM Punk, or the second was, and all these weeks and months are just going away, and I start to worry that one day I'm going to be dead. Look, let's not talk about this. You're here to watch a review show of wrestling. I'm very sorry. Let's up those doubts. Ricky Starks joined the commentary booth this week, and I really hope that AEW makes this a regular thing. Just pick a random guy or a random girl, put them in the booth, and then we get to know their character a little bit more, and it kind of allows them to be the star of the show. Our first match is also a tag team title contest between the Lucha Brothers and the Butcher and the Blade, so it's nice they got to close their shop early. And this was a really smart thing to do because you're going, hey, look, we got tag titles, they're being defended, they mean something. Now, yes, it did suffer in the sense that I don't think anybody on the planet actually thought that the Butcher and the Blade were going to win here, but look, sometimes you have to defend your titles, and when you've got to defend your titles, you go out there and you defend your titles. And it started with Blade versus Phoenix, and eventually Blade was like, you know what, I want nothing to do with you, you're absolutely nuts because he is nuts, and then it was Butcher versus Penta for a while, but that didn't really go very well for the challengers either. I think somebody then accidentally sounded the tag team cracks and ha too early because all of a sudden everybody was in the ring, but this ended with Penta and Phoenix doing these two simultaneous stereo dives, and it was just wonderful. They kind of crisscrossed as well. They are such good professional wrestlers to the point sometimes I get sad. I watched them, I'm like, man, I'm never going to be that good at anything. When they were all getting back in the ring, though, Blade was actually able to hit Penta with his 2-for-1 on meat sign. Nope, sorry, he wasn't, with his crossbody. And that's when they slowly started to get back into this with slow, very smart offense. Phoenix was having none of this, though, so he hit his bonkers switch and just started doing all this crazy stuff. You're like, man, why does gravity not apply to you? And if you can believe it, the way the Butcher and the Blade stopped this is they took Penta and they tied him to the top rope courtesy of his mask. So now he had a horrible decision. Well, I have to help my brother, obviously, otherwise we're going to lose the match. But if I do that, I have to expose my face, which is against my legacy. What a really, really good idea. As it turned out, it led to the most wonderful ending as well, because he did decide, I cannot let my sibling be in trouble. What kind of man does that make me? So he did unmask, he covered his face, he smashed out a super kick, which allowed Phoenix to turn his, like, position into a Hurricane Rana with the pin, and that is how they did win. And honestly, you need to go watch this. I don't know who came up with this idea, but somebody go up to them right now and give them a hug. I don't think I've ever seen it, even though obviously it has happened, it was Fabu. The Hardy family ran in afterwards, because of course they are a bunch of schmucks, but of all people, Santana and Ortiz made the save. So surely eventually we're going to do the Lucha Brothers versus the Proud and the Powerful, a match we've all wanted to see for a while. This is getting it up. Had a really cool video package between Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson after this, and the best thing about Bryan going to AEW is he has gone back to, look, I'm going to end your life, Danielson. It's such a great change of character after all these years of being the scrappy underdog, and why WWE never gave this a chance, I don't know. But Kenny even referenced the whole underdog stuff, and he's like, look, the majority of your career has been in that position, and sadly for you, there is no fairy tale this time, you lose to me. That's also when Bryan promised to kill some fools, and honestly, this is a dream match to me, and I know a lot of people agree, and I cannot believe it, we're seeing it in less than 5 or 6 days. I don't care there's not a pay-per-view, I don't care it's not for the world title. As I mentioned in the intro, one day I could be dead, just give me this stuff as quickly as possible. I am excited. Also, you should all go and watch this. Like, it's really short. It's like a minute. You could do it in the toilet. Anna Jay versus the Bunny was next. And this was basically done to get Anna Jay back into the ring. Because, of course, she's coming back from that horrible injury. I'm giving it up. It didn't really go that long either. So you could just sit back and enjoy it. And they didn't even get in the ring to begin with. Anna Jay just attacked the Bunny. Was beating her ass. And even gave her a suplex on the floor. To the point, eventually, the Animal went to Matt Hardy, who was at ringside, and said, well, what the hell would you do? Because my plan isn't working. He did have some good advice though, because he was like, well, why don't you throw her into the ring post and then chuck her into the barricade, which is exactly what the Bunny did do, and then all of a sudden she was on top. It also caught an injury to Anna's arm and shoulder, so the Bunny started working over that one. And at this stage I realized, wait a minute, there is a lot of people stood outside of this squared circle. I think it's gonna end in distraction. So when Penelope Ford noticed, oh no, the Bunny's in trouble because Anna Jay's about to apply the Queen Slayer, she jumped up onto the ring apron. Ty Conte saw this and was like, nope, not on my watch. She pulled her down. The Bunny couldn't believe that any of this was going on, so Anna Jay snuck up behind her and hit the most devastating move in all sports entertainment, the surprise roll up, and got the win. All this was fine though. Afterwards, the bad guys beat up the good guys, so I suppose we can do the other singles match or go into a tag team match. The only thing that upset me was that the Dark Order were nowhere to be seen because, of course, on Dynamite, they'd all fallen out again. I guess the good thing is I'm going to get lots of presents at Christmas, but still. This also meant that Matt Hardy was having a terrible evening because he had just lost again, and then he went and lost his flubbing mind. Because he spied somebody in the crowd that was dressed like Orange Cassidy and was like, you know what, get that person in here, I am offended, and I'm going to shave his head. Now, this is all very tough for me because we're pretending like somebody that does go bald is a travesty to mankind, and sometimes it just happens and you have to deal with it. But honestly, this is the kind of thing that wrestling should be doing more. It's like what's old is new again. I haven't seen an angle with a fan that was planted in the crowd for ages, and it does make you go, well, that poor so-and-so, he just bought a ticket. And now he ain't got any air. Again, too, this must be ending with a Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy match, who came out to make the save here, with Matt Hardy losing his hair, and that's a super duper big deal. Just take a second. When was the last time you didn't see Matt Hardy without his luxurious locks? So if AEW does do it in the right way, I think we're gonna be like, I can't believe it. I'm really into this story. Fair play to Powerhouse Hobbs too. He had a few moments to cut a promo on CM Punk after he had chucked him through a table, although we were just airing it here, and he took a baseball bat, pow, and he smashed it out of the park. I mean, he told Punk to go home and stay there for another 7 years. He came across like an absolute monster, but more importantly than all of that, he has made me doubly excited for this match. We need to get Powerhouse Hobbs on the microphone more. Britt Baker and Ruby Soho then must have been inspired by this, because they arrived, did a promo battle, and it was the highlight of the night. Because who knew letting people just speak their minds and tie it all into reality would work so well? Because Britt Baker was all like, oh, Ruby Soho, you must be having the time of your life because you actually get to be on television. So Ruby fired back with, look, you're just like every broad I've ever met who's banging a dude in the back. Of course, that was a reference to Adam Cole. Britt Baker sold this wonderfully. I was having a good time. We even spoke about the fact that Ruby did get fired from WWE, and all of that is true, so it allowed Soho to react to it like you would do in reality. And once again, there's that word again. This was excellent. Ricky Starks even gets a tick, because on commentary after that sex line, he went, man, is it a crime to be in love? So he deserves some kind of award. And then Ruby turned to Britt and said, look, your problem is your head is too far up Tony Khan's ass. I don't think this went more than 5 minutes and they did brawl to end the thing, but it has got me so pumped for their title match next week that you just gotta give them a round of applause. Do you see how simple and effective wrestling can be? You don't need to overthink it. And honestly, I don't think this could have been any better. It did wonders for Britt Baker as a bad guy. It did wonders for Ruby Soho as a good guy. It was almost like she was a completely different person to what we had been used to before. Couple of thumbs. We then got our Mark Henry interviews all the people that are going to be in the main event segment. And yes, Fuego del Sol is putting his car up against Miro. And the only thing I can come up with is that Fuego del Sol really likes Street Fighter 2 and realizes that if he does lose, Miro can basically become Zangief and destroy the vehicle like you do on a bonus stage. I mean, honestly, this is such a bad idea. What the flubble sticks were you thinking? But as for the match, my word, it was great.
up.
I think at this point too, we can all admit that Miro is one of the best things about AEW. I mean, every single match he has is just a little bit different from the last. He completely understands his character. And if you want to talk about Wrestlers of the Year 2021, my nominee would be Miro. As ever, Del Sol used speed in the early going to try and piss Miro off, which he did when he grabbed him out of midair. But Fiego didn't want to lose his car, obviously, so he pushed him right into a ring post. All that did, I think, was made Miro even more madder. So he grabbed the man and chucked him into the crowd. But do you know what the fans did? They caught him. They basically shuffled him back to the point he could hit a crossbody off the barricade. I think this was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it wasn't, but that's how I felt. It really did annoy Miro, though, who just started to murder Del Sol, including one point when he jumped off the ropes and he just took his fists and whammed him right in the chest. And I was like, man, he's gonna die. I do think Del Sol was then getting a little bit worried about his ride because he was able to hit Miro with a foot stomp. But once again, it was just like a bee going bzz, 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 and Miro couldn't take it anymore. And he backed Fiego into the corner and just started to hit him with these hammer blows. I mean, a small part of me was like that kid from The Simpsons. Stop, stop, he's already dead. He then booted him in the face a few times to get the win. And honestly, towards the end, this was a little bit like a cat getting mauled by a tiger. It does mean Miro is now the owner of a shiny new car, but I don't think he gives a shit because he took the keys, he stuffed them into Fiego Del Sol's mouth, and then he played the game over camel clutch. This is one of the most disgusting things we've seen in a while. Nobody wants metal in their mouth. Hurts your teeth. It also means you're going to have to wash them because they're going to be all slobbered on. And of course, the main reason to have this match to begin with is to set up Miro's next proper feud, which is with Fiego Del Sol's best friend, Sammy Guevara. He ran down, he beat him up, he chased him away. Given that Miro had left the title in the ring, he picked up like, I'm going to be the new champion. And you know what? He absolutely should. What a huge victory that would be for him. And it sets him on the road to superstardom. So this was another fine, fine episode of AEW's brand new show. How they managed to pack all of this into 60 minutes, I don't know, but it zoomed by, ironically, like a car, and it was getting it up.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.